Chapter 17. By and by, when we got up, we turned over the truck the gang had stole off of the wreck, and found boots, and blankets, and clothes, and all sorts of other things, and a lot of books, and a spyglass, and 3 boxes of Seegers. We hadn't ever been this rich before in neither of our lives. The Seegers was prime. We laid off all the afternoon in the woods talking, and me reading the books, and having a general good time. I told Jim all about what happened inside the wreck, and at the ferry boat, and I said these kinds of things was adventures. But he said he didn't want no more adventures. He said that when I went in the Texas and he crawled back, to get on the raft, and found her gone he nearly died, because he judged it was all up with him anyway it could be fixed. For if he didn't get saved he would get drowned. And if he did get saved, whoever saved him would send him back home so as to get the reward, and then Miss Watson would sell him south, sure. Well, he was right. He was most always right. He had an uncommon level head for a nigger. I read considerable to Jim about kings, and dukes and earls and such, and how gaudy they dressed, and how much style they put on, and called each other your majesty, and your grace, and your lordship, and so on, instead of mister, and Jim's eyes bugged out, and he was interested. He says, I did know they was so many unum. I ain't heard about none, scasely, but a late King Solomon, unless you count stem kings that's in a pack or kyres. How much do a king get? Get? I says, why, they get $1,000 a month, if they want it, they can have just as much as they want, everything belongs to them. Ain't that gay? And what they got to do, Huck? They don't do nothing. Why, how you talk? They just sit around. No, is that so? Of course it is. They just sit around, except, maybe, when there's a war, then they go to the war. But other times they just lazy around, or go hawking, just hawking and SPSH. Do you hear a noise? We skipped out and looked, but it weren't nothing but the flutter of a steamboat's wheel away down, coming around the point, so we come back. Yes, says I, and other times, when things is dull, they fuss with the parliament, and if everybody don't go, just so he whacks their heads off. But mostly they hang round the harem. Round the witch? Harem. What's the harem? The place where he keeps his wives. Don't you know about the harem? Solomon had one. He had about 1,000,000 wives. Why, yes, that's so. I done forgot it. A harem's a bodden house, I reckon. Most likely they has rackety times in the nursery. And I reckon the wives quarrels consitable, and that creased the racket. Yet they say Solomon the wisest man that ever live. I don't take no stock in that. Because why? Would a wise man want to live in the midst of such a blim-blammin' all the time? No, deed he wouldn't. A wise man would take and build a biler factory. And then he could shut down the biler factory when he want to reses. Well, but he was the wisest man, anyway, because the widow she told me so, her own self. I don't care what the widow say, he weren't no wise man neither. He had some murder that fetch its ways I ever see. Does you know about that chili that he us gwine to chop into? Yes, the widow told me all about it. Well, then. Warned that the beaten's notion in the world? You just as take and look at it a minute. Da's the stump, da that's one er the women, he's you that's the other one, I Solomon, and this yer dollar bill's the chili. Both on you claims it. What does I do? Does I shin around mongs the neighbors and find out which on you the bill do belong to, and hand it over to the right one, all safe and sound, the way that anybody that had any gumption would? No, I take and whack the bill in two, and give half on it to you, and the other half to the other woman. That's the way Solomon was gwine to do with the chili. Now I want to ask you, what's the user that half a bill? Can't buy nothing with it. And what use is a half a chili? I won't give a dern for 1,000,000 unum. But hang it, Jim, you've clean missed the point, blame it, you've missed it 1,000 mile. Who? Me? Go long. Don't talk to me about yo pints. I reckon I no sense when I sees it, and they ain't no sense in sich doings as that. Dispute weren't bout a half a chili, dispute was bout a whole chili, and the man that think he can settle a spute bout a whole chili with a half a chili don't know enough to come in out in the rain. Don't talk to me about Solomon, Huck, I knows him by the back. But I tell you you don't get the point. Blame the point. I reckon I knows what I knows. And mind you, the real pint is down further, it's down deeper. It lays in the way Solomon was raised. You take a man that's got on you one or two chillin', is that man gwine to be wasteful o' chillin'? No, he ain't. He can't afford it. He know how to value 'em. But you take a man that's got about 5 million chillin' runnin' round the house, and it's different. He as soon chop a chili in two as a cat. They's plenty mo'. A chili or two, more or less, warn't no consequence to Solomon, that fetch him. I never see such a nigger. If he got a notion in his head once, there warn't no getting it out again. He was the most down on Solomon of any nigger I ever see. So I went to talking about other kings, and let Solomon slide. I told about Louis XVI, that got his head cut off in France long time ago, and about his little boy the dolphin, that would have been a king, but they took and shut him up in jail, and some say he died there. Poor little chap. But some says he got out and got away, and come to America. That's good. But he'll be pooty lonesome, they ain't no kings here, is they, Huck? No. Then he can't get no situation. What he gwine to do? Well, I don't know. Some of them gets on the police, and some of them learns people how to talk French. Why, Huck, don't the French people talk the same way we does? No, Jim, you couldn't understand a word they said, not a single word. Well, now, I be ding busted. How do that come? I don't know, but it's so. I got some of their jabber out of a book. Suppose a man was to come to you, and say parlez-vous français, what would you think? I won't think nothing. I'd take and bust him over the head, that is, if he weren't white. I wouldn't low no nigger to call me that. Shucks, it ain't calling you anything. It's only saying, do you know how to talk French? Well, then, why couldn't he say it? Why, he is a saying it. That's a Frenchman's way of saying it. Well, it's a blame ridiculous way, and I don't want to hear no mo' about it. They ain't no sense in it. Looky here, Jim, does a cat talk like we do? No, a cat don't. Well, does a cow? No, a cow don't, neither. Does a cat talk like a cow, or a cow talk like a cat? No, they don't. It's natural and right for 'em to talk different from each other, ain't it? Course. And ain't it natural and right for a cat and a cow to talk different from us? Why, most surely it is. Well then, why ain't it natural and right for a Frenchman to talk different from us? You answer me that. Is a cat a man, Huck? No. Well, then, they ain't no sense in a cat talking like a man. Is a cow a man? Or is a cow a cat? No, she ain't either of them. Well, then, she ain't got no business to talk like either one or the other of them. Is a Frenchman a man? Yes. Well, then, dad blame it, why don't he talk like a man? You answer me that. I see it warn't no use wasting words, you can't learn a nigger to argue. So I quit. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.